Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your words, we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we'll have our first Bible reading from the letter to the Romans.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. In fact, it is no longer that I do it, but that sin dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. If I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God. But with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Please will you stand as we sing our next hymn, A New Commandment.
I
reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Let anyone with ears listen. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn." But John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, "He has a demon." Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Well, in a few minutes we will be baptising Percy Grenfell Dexter. As part of that liturgy, I will ask of his parents and godparents for great baptismal questions. Do you turn to Christ? Do you repent of your sins? Do you reject selfish living and all that is false and unjust? Do you renounce Satan and all evil? And the parents and godparents, Sam, Amy, Emily, Toby and Emily, will reply that they will, and that they will do their utmost to help bring Percy up in this way. And I'm sure that they will be very good at this. I also know that it will be hard. We live in a world with so many pressures, so many distractions, so many other narratives that it can seem almost impossible to keep to the promises made in baptism. Our reading today from the letter to the Romans emphasises just how hard it is even for St. Paul. St. Paul, one of those great names in scriptures, he is the one whose missionary journeys made Christianity spread so early and so fast. His writings that we still read today are the foundations of Christian theology. But yet, he says, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. And if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me." What a tongue twist, and well done then. We can all empathise with this. We think we know what we ought to be doing, how we ought to act towards our neighbours, how we ought to treat the environment. We can seem very hard much of the time. For Paul, his understanding of this was from the books of the law, those books of the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures that set out the guidelines of how the people of God should live together. And for pious Jews of his time, and remember that Paul was brought up as a pious Jew, strict interpretation and observance of the law was seen as the necessary condition to being accepted by God. They were haunted with the fear of breaking any of the rules, because to do so would mean that they weren't following God properly. They put in jeopardy their receiving the promises that God made to the patriarchs and the prophets. Paul's lamentation is that sin is seems inevitable and all may be lost. We're not pious Jews, but we do still have a moral code of ethics. We have an understanding of the law for our lives, from Christian virtues, family values, our understanding of what makes a good person. This is a worthy thing to do. And we all share a confidence that there is a human potential to do good, but often we don't. And we call that sin, things that we do that we don't want to do and do, don't do what we ought to do. Those who remember the Book of Common Prayer, confession, remember the sins of commission and the sins of omission. We fall short of our own ideals. We may be led to the idea that resolving a conflict between our good intention and our active deeds is a matter of trying harder, but that's a really difficult thing, and we can't do it. But this is not the description that Paul actually is giving us. For him, sin is not breaking a rule, but distorting a relationship. Back at the beginning of his letter to the Romans, he writes, though they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. It's because of this breakdown in relationship, says Paul, that people turn from God-centeredness to self-centeredness. Their desire to secure acceptability is through their own actions rather than through trusting God. And Paul says this is the reason that even while one may intend to do good, one can't because of the inner self. It's a wonderful illustration I read this week from Gregory of Nyssa, who was a 4th century theologian. And he described this like those who try to climb a sandy slope. Think North Stradiot Island and slopes up there. Or he writes, even they look as if they are traversing great tracts of ground on foot, they tire themselves to no avail. Each time the sand slides to the bottom in such a way that there is a great deal of effort, of movement, but no progress. But Paul says, all is not lost. Paul is not simply lamenting that humans are consigned to a life of struggle with no end. He's saying that Christians, yes, can live a life, obedient life, expressing a living faith. He tells us the answer, and the end of our passage ends with the good news. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is God that restores that relationship, brings us back to a God-centered awareness. Yes, we still need to heed moral and ethical codes that form a basis of living in relationship with one another, and living in relationship with the whole created order. But at the centre is our relationship with God. As I commented in the notes paper this week for those who've read it, this is the same message that Jesus gives in our Gospel passage. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus said that rather than trying to do things in the way that the world thinks is the right way, with the world's wisdom, that will only lead us to wearisome worries, a sense of burdens, a foreboding. Rather, it is the gift of God that enables us to rest from these and to learn how to think in Jesus' way. Jesus' wisdom, where everyone is invited to the table. Little ones are important in the kingdom of God. And this is the way in which we can all live out our baptismal promises, as I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon. The final question that I will ask of the sponsors to Percy is this. Will you each, by God's grace, strive to live as a disciple of Christ, loving God with your whole heart and your neighbour as yourself, until your life's end? To which they will respond, I will, with God's help. This says it all. Amen. Well, we come now to the baptism. As we prepare and gather round the font at the back, we will sing next in our baptism processional, Baptized in Water. encourage people to come in. If you've got children, then do come a bit closer so you can see what's going on. I'm very happy if people want to take photographs as we go. That's fine. That's fine as well. So baptism is the gift of Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he'd risen from the dead, he commanded his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We've come together today to obey that command. Baptism with water signifies the cleansing from sin that Jesus' death makes possible and the new life that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. In baptism, the promises of God are visibly signed and sealed for us. We are joined to Christ and made members of his body, the Church Universal. Children are baptized in response to God's all-embracing love. Parents and godparents who have responded to that love now come to bring Percy for baptism. Before this congregation, they must express their own trust and commitment to the promises of God and their intention to bring him up in the faith and practice of the Church. In time, their children should make their own response to God, be prepared for confirmation. So, we welcome you, Percival, Rose, Grenfell, Dexter, your sponsors, Amy, Sam, Emily, Toby and Emily. We pray that you may know God's love and faithfulness forever. So I invite his sponsors to present him now. Nice and loud.
Present Percival, Rose, Grenfell, Dexter to be baptized.
Will you accept the responsibilities placed upon you in bringing Percy for baptism?
I will.
Are you willing to answer on behalf of Percy?
I am.
By your own prayers and example, by your friendship and love, will you encourage Percy in the life and faith of the Christian community?
I will, with God's help.
Now, you've heard these questions before this morning already. Before God and his congregation, you must affirm that you turn to Christ and reject all that is evil. So I ask you, do you return to Christ?
I return to Christ.
Do you repent of your sins?
I repent of my sins.
Do you reject selfish living and all that is false and unjust?
I reject them all.
Do you renounce Satan and all evil?
I renounce all that is evil.
Almighty God, deliver you from the powers of darkness and lead you in the light of Christ to his everlasting kingdom. Amen. Will you each, by God's grace, strive to live as a disciple of Christ, loving God with your whole heart and your neighbour as yourself, until your life's end?
I will, with God's help.
So, friends, congregation, St. Luke's, you have heard these our brothers and sisters respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling?
We will.
Who's now going to lead us in prayer?
Come, Lord Jesus, come to us, that we may find rest and peace in you. Come, Lord Jesus, come to us, that we may love you and proclaim your saving power, that we may live to your glory. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We give thanks for all who labour for the coming of your kingdom. Give them encouragement to persevere when times seem hard and they feel dispirited by the greatness of the task. May they find rest for their souls in the knowledge that it is through you, Jesus, that the work is done. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
graciously hear us. Lord, we pray for places where there is strife, where relationships are broken, on the family, community, or national level. We pray for those providing food, core items, and temporary shelter for those affected by the earthquake in Venezuela. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for those who are sick, frail, or emotionally stressed, especially those listed in our church notice paper. May they know that you are the one to whom they may come for rest and refreshment. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We give thanks for all those who have shared with us the good news of your saving power, who are now restored and renewed in your kingdom. We remember especially those whose anniversary of death occurs at this time. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
As Percy prepares to be baptized, we pray for him and his family. Grant, merciful God, that Percy may be so buried with Christ in baptism that the new nature may be raised up in him. May the fruit of your Spirit grow and flourish in him. Amen. Give to his sponsors and their families the desire to share with him what you have revealed in your holy gospel. Amen. May Percy know Christ's forgiving love and continue in the fellowship and service of your church. May he proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We thank you for the ministry we have in your world and to each other in the household of faith. Hasten that day when the whole creation shall be made perfect in Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks at the beginning of creation, your Holy Spirit moved upon the waters to bring forth light and life. With water you cleanse and replenish the earth. You nourish and sustain all living things.
Thanks be to God.
We give you thanks that through the waters of the Red Sea, you led your people out of slavery into freedom and brought them through the River Jordan to new life in the land of promise. Thanks be to God. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his baptism by John, for his anointing with the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. We give you thanks that through the deep waters of death, Jesus delivered us from our sins and was raised to new life in triumph. Thanks be to God. We give you thanks for the grace of the Holy Spirit who forms us in the likeness of Christ and leads us to proclaim your kingdom. Thanks be to God. And now we give you thanks that you have called Percy to new birth in your church through the waters of baptism. Pour out your Holy Spirit in blessing and sanctify this water so that he who is baptized in it may be made one with Christ in his death and resurrection. May he die to sin, rise to newness of life, and continue forever in Christ Jesus our Lord, through whom we give you praise and honour in the unity of the Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Now all of us gathered here, I ask you to affirm as yours the faith of the Church. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God, the Son?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is the faith of the Church.
This is our faith. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Well, Percy. Hey, how are you doing?
Do you want to wake up?
Yes.
I'm asleep.
We need to actually have his head over
okay,
the water.
Okay, ready?
It's going to wake him.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wake up, come in.
Percival Rose Grenfell Dexter, I baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, well done.
Good morning.
Now, I've got some oil that was blessed by the Archbishop. Special people are blessed. You are a special person. So, Percy, sign you with a cross. To show that you are marked as Christ's own forever. Live as a disciple of Christ. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Confess Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection. Look for his coming in glory. One of the godparents would like to light the baptism candle from our paschal candle. Perhaps not give it to him, but show Percy. Percy, God has brought you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. God has called you into his Church. We therefore receive and welcome you as a member with us of the body of Christ, as a child of one heavenly Father, and as an inheritor of the kingdom of God. Now, shall we welcome him? Now, there we are. There's a certificate of baptism, which I'll give that to Sam to hang on to, and godparent certificates. Now, first one is for Emily Wilson, which was just to remind you of the promises that you made today. Toby? And that must be the other one, must be, yes, Emily Smith.
It is working now.
And one last thing, as we always do, we like to give a Bible to all of our folks who are baptised. And of course, had a little bit of a challenge because it's trying to remember what Eddie got for his, so he gets a different one. Anyway, we are so thrilled to have you back with us and to be able to welcome you as a baptised member of our Church. So thank you, and may you enjoy sharing that book together.
We are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you all. How many on Zoom, Jude?
If you want to wave up on the camera up there, we've got 5 on Zoom.
Yeah. Peace to you. Well, we now move to sharing Holy Communion, and the welcome is for anyone who is baptized and is used to taking communion or wishes to take communion with us today. You are very welcome to share with us. When we come to share the communion, come up the center aisle, and myself and the liturgical assistant will be on the chancel step to receive the bread from me.
and the wine from the LA. If you don't want to receive a wine, you can just bow to a cup. If you want a blessing, then come up and then return to your seats round the side. But as we move ourselves back to our seats, we will sing our next hymn, which is back on the screen, so we turn around, The Power of Your Love. Accept and use our offerings for your glory, for the service of your kingdom.
Blessed be God forever.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All glory and honour be yours, always and everywhere, mighty Creator, ever living God. We give you thanks and praise for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who, by the power of your Spirit, was born of Mary and lived as one of us. By his death on the cross and rising to new life, he offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. In baptism, you have united us to him and brought us out of darkness into light. You pour your Spirit upon us, filling us with your gifts and calling us to serve you as a royal priesthood. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Merciful God, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and wine. And we pray that by your word and Holy Spirit, we who eat and drink them may be partakers of Christ's body and blood. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore we do as our Saviour has commanded, proclaiming his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. And looking for his coming again, we celebrate with this bread and this cup his one perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us to the body of your Son and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament, the body and blood of Christ, in remembrance that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us sing to the Lord our God.
Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Give honour to all. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.